Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I like the way your sparkling earrings lay.
We're back. It's 12 after.
Against your skin so bright.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. And my website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I want to talk a little bit about the power and the value of information and how things have changed over the years, and kind of go back a ways and actually go back a long way to start, and then come forward to where we are right now. On the time continuum of the evolution of human civilization, invention, innovation, and distribution has been largely very slow and painstaking. It's a process that took a long time. Who knows how many eons it took for humans to discover, create, and use fire. It certainly took hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of years, to go from manufacturing fire to manufacturing with fire. Along the way came tools, the wheel, and all the other things that we use to leverage muscle power. Things started speeding up about 3000 BC when stone tools were replaced by bronze implements. Then after only a couple of thousand years, bronze gave way to iron, and then steel helped usher in the Industrial Revolution, which lasted a little more than a couple hundred years, and brought us to our current age. And each new major innovation not only created new possibilities for humans, but also compressed the waiting time until the next innovation. Now, this is a very important point of element of all of what I'm talking about now, is the fact that some of the things that I just said, when you look at the time it took to go from one era, so to speak, to the next one, the time kept getting shorter and shorter. I mean, basically, bronze is a metal, and so is iron, and so is steel. They're all metal. One's an improvement over the other, but the news is how the shorter time period it took to get to the next level. And that's what's going on right now. Presently, the innovation element of choice is silicon. As a computer age, now quite mature, as you know, after only a few decades, has morphed into the information age, where humans seek ways to leverage the brain more than the muscle. And talk about innovation compression. In 1965, you've heard of the Moore's Law. Well, that guy's name was Gordon Moore. He co-founded Intel. He observed that the amount of capacity on a computer chip was doubling every 18 months. And you know what? Even today, in 2004, Moore's Law is still a valid measurement. So we go from measuring how, for example, what he's talking about is going from essentially bronze to iron or iron to steel in 18 months. It's the same kind of thing. The difference is everything keeps compressing. The time between changes keeps compressing. The sharing of information contributing significantly to the compression of each era into a shorter time span has been greatly influenced by the written word, as you know. And you've heard me speak of Adam Smith before in his outstanding book, The Wealth of Nations, which, by the way, after 228 years, you can still buy in bookstores. Adam Smith proposed that the written word was one of the three most important elements of humankind, and the other two were money and basically, he called it economic tables, basically accounting, basically math. That the three were the written word, money, and accounting. I like the story. You heard about the story about the man on the street who were being asked what was the most important invention in the world, and well, to me, as you may have heard me say before, I say that it was Gutenberg's press, because when from the moment his press came online, his movable type and his press came online, from that moment on, things have really sped up. Of course, all the stuff that God and mankind hath wrought over the past half millennium is the brick by brick foundation of our modern society and marketplace. But the enormous undertakings of creating each of these things was actually only the first small step on the way to success. And one of the things, some of the things that I want to talk about now are what many people are calling the value of information. Let me give you a quote from the 1999 annual report of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank. This is the title of that report was The New Paradigm. And Dr. Robert McTeer, who's, as you know, is a friend of ours and a member of our brain trust, is the president there. And he said this in that report. He said, in the new economy, information is more important to economic success than money or machinery. I'm going to say that again. This is a quote from Bob McTeer. In the new economy, information is more important to economic success than money or machinery. Now, why do you think that would be the case? Has information become that valuable? Well, consider this. If you discover something today because of the latest electronic technologies, you can share it with your friends and your customers instantaneously worldwide. Now, remember I talked about fire a minute ago, how long it took to go from having fire to manufacturing with fire. Imagine how the pace of human development would have changed if everyone on the planet could have learned how to create fire within minutes of its initial discovery. Think about that. That's what's happening right now, folks. And if that had been possible, would the real value have been the fire or the ability to share the information about the fire quickly and efficiently? Well, welcome to the information age. What we have now is the democratization of information. And that democratization of information, that proliferation, that efficiency, all the different ways that we can leverage what we know, it's shifted our paradigms, our value paradigms. It's shifted the way we place value. And it's caused smart people like Bob McTeer to say, in the new economy, information is more important to economic success than money or machines. And as the information age unfolds before us, we're gonna see some amazing things. We are seeing some amazing things. And when we come back, I want to talk about a couple of three events, two events and one other thing that's going on that I think will help you see a little bit more about what I'm talking about and how it's going to impact your small business. 20 after, stay with me. My desire. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're talking about the information age. And of course, you can't have the information age without the technology to deliver that information. And we'll talk about a couple of events. And one example of what's going on in the information age. The first event is one that you know very well. Terrorists attack the United States. Specifically, the example I'm going to use is the New York City attack on 9/11 in 2001. As a result of this attack, as you know, not only were many people killed, but thousands, hundreds of thousands of employees were displaced. And they began working from home virtually the next day. Well, within a few months or so, the companies acquired some new office space and gave their employees a call and said, hey, come on back to work. We got your office ready. And guess what the employees said? Many of them said, I don't think so. They had armed themselves, and their companies had done this too, had armed themselves with laptops and the internet. These employees had become successful teleworkers. And so many of them said, I don't think I want to come back to work there. I like it here. As you can see, boss, you know, things are going okay. Working from wherever you are isn't a reality for everyone yet, but it's becoming more and more so for people every day. More and more every day, employees and managers and business owners alike are discovering that in the 21st century, work can be done, goals can be met, and success is possible without having every member of your organization under one roof. 50 years from now, there will be many, I'm predicting that 50 years from now, there will be many empty tall buildings, but not because of terrorism, but because of technology and the ability for technology to help us distribute information. So here's my question to you. I think it's important that we all ask ourselves this question. How has our infrastructure and human resources requirements changed in the information age, and how are they changing? You need to ask yourself that question before you hire an employee, before you buy a computer, before you build a building or rent a space. Ask yourself, how is the information age going to affect this decision a year or two or five from now? Here's the second event. Boeing moved its headquarters to Chicago at the beginning of the 21st century. Was there something wrong with Seattle, which, as you know, was Boeing's home since early in the last century? No, there was nothing wrong with Seattle. The reason for the move was to begin the process of distancing Boeing's future, which is aerospace and technology, from its past, which is building jet aircraft airliners. You know, think about this. This is just one example. Business travel is an important revenue stream for airlines, but as video conferencing technologies become more elegant, more portable, and more affordable, business trips, and maybe even some trips to grandma's, will become less necessary. Boeing saw technology as more threatening to airlines than terrorism. That's right. The biggest threat to airlines is not terrorism, it's technology. And while governments may declare war on terrorism, businesses have to embrace technology. So the question is, what are you doing about that? And the other thing I want to talk about, this isn't an event as much as just something that's happening, and that's this. Learning isn't changing, but the acquisition of it is. Colleges and universities aren't where knowledge resides as much as they are platforms for the delivery of knowledge, the delivery of information. And as our culture catches up with the increasing capability of distance learning, the knowledge delivery method of the information age, there will be less need for traditional classrooms and dormitories. Many of you are seeing this. Many of you are experiencing this right now. Many of you listening are taking college courses online, never to see your professor, never to go in a classroom. This is a wake-up call for professors and colleges, but especially for professors. Take a computer class. So think about these things, ladies and gentlemen. Think about whether as these things are happening, I mean, look at what happened to the workers, the displaced workers in New York City. Look at how things changed for them. Well, that wasn't something that was turned out, for many of them, it turned out that it wasn't a bad thing. It actually was a good thing. It made them do something that they probably needed to do anyway. Look at what Boeing did. You think it wasn't a tough decision for Boeing to move out of Seattle? But they could see that the 21st century was going to be different than the 20th century. And they had to make some bold changes. So, and they embraced what could have been the enemy instead of fighting it. So as we enter the 21st century, as we continue to enter the 21st century, when it comes to the information age, when it comes to technology, when it comes to the influence of all of that on your business, here's my question to you. Are you a lover or are you a fighter? And that's an important question to ask yourself. Whenever you're faced with something that's a paradigm shift, which there are a lot of those right now, from the 21st century to the 20th century to the 21st century, are you a lover or a fighter? That's what you should ask yourself. And more these days, we need to be lovers and not fighters. Quick break. I'll be right back with Grace Marie Turner. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. She's got it. Yeah, baby.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.